Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. We are now live here on a Tuesday. August 27th, 2019, to be exact. And I am back in the saddle after taking a few days off as I headed to Puerto Rico for 4 days. Four-day trip. Absolutely amazing. And I'll expound a little bit more on how my trip to Puerto Rico for the first time went later on this hour. But it was a great time as I went out there to celebrate my 10-year anniversary with my fellow line brothers. We celebrated 10 years inside of the greatest fraternity in all of the land, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. So it was eight of us total. You know, we got like a huge Airbnb. If you don't know what that is, it's basically a house that you can rent out for a vacation. Many people do that nowadays. And we rented out a house that was really close to the water out in Puerto Rico. Just a great time. My voice is a little bit hoarse. My voice has really been going through it, I feel like, the last few weeks, though. It's a little bit hoarse. You know, you can get with the fellas. Everybody talking trash from sun up to sundown. And you know, when you go out and you're partying and, you know, you're yelling, you got to yell over the music. So I'm a bit hoarse today as my voice is still trying to recover from the time that was Puerto Rico. But I had a great time. But I'm ready to get back at it because the week is upon us, right? It's here. It is game week, folks. As your Michigan State football team will embark on a new season officially beginning on Friday night here on the campus of Michigan State University inside of the friendly confines of Spartan Stadium as the Spartans will play host to Tulsa. Also, head coach Mark D'Antonio, he took the podium for his first official game week press conference of the 2019 season. And the first depth chart was released. I'll have thoughts on that. You know, and all week we're going to be previewing in exhaustion, really. Because that's what happens every single game week, right? It's like you start off like hot, like Monday and Tuesday, you dive into the specifics of the game. And by the time like Friday comes, I don't know if you're like me, but I'm just like, can we just play this thing now? Can we just get these two teams on the field so they can get it on? So, again, we'll be previewing Michigan State and Tulsa all week. Again, I'll just have some brief thoughts on what Coach D said at the podium today. And do want to address the University of Michigan football team as well. You know, it's like the first, this is the big first week in college football. Now, I know there were some games over the weekend. And actually, you know, even though I was on vacation, you know, me and the fellas, we actually sat back and watched that Florida and Miami game, which was so entertaining, but very sloppy. Incredibly sloppy. Flags every 5 seconds. But it went down to the wire. That was pretty fun to watch. And you know, I try to disconnect as much as possible, you know, when I am on vacay. But, you know, there was some sports news that you just couldn't ignore. Like, cough, cough, Andrew Luck retiring. Now, I didn't listen to the boys' shows while I was away on Thursday, Friday, and Monday. But
Connor
hurtful.
Mathis is engineering behind the glass today. Jack Kerwin also is behind there. I'm pretty sure you guys led the show, and I'm pretty sure that took up probably most of the show yesterday, right?
It was about 45 minutes of the show as Andrew Luck.
Look at that. Didn't even have to guess there, fellas. I knew. Lucky guess. Pun intended, right?
I wish I had the drum right now, or maybe... Oh, hang on a minute. Wait, there is some... Yeah, there you go.
I love it, man. I love when I can just find some kind of pun that goes oh so great with a conversation. And Andrew Luck retiring, I think this may be the most surprising retirement announcement in football history since Barry Sanders. Really do believe that. I mean, it really came out of left field. I want to address it, even though you guys have. I did not listen to your show yesterday. But I'm going to give just brief thoughts on it and address one particular angle that has me a little bit ticked off. All right. So we'll get to that. Talk again, MSU football, and also the Detroit Lions are really trying to like scrape the barrel right now to try and find some help at the quarterback position. They cut a quarterback, signed a quarterback who most recently played, I believe, in the AAF. I'll let you know who that is and so much more. But you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. I want to start here. I'm going to go through Michigan State football's depth chart a little bit later in the show. We do have it in our rundown right now, but I want to go through a few specifics. Not too many surprises, I should say, but the first depth chart of the new Michigan State football season has been released. All right, game one versus Tulsa, as you know by now, on Friday night. Some news came across sports broadcasting realms a few hours ago, actually, not that long ago, as it was announced from the Big Ten Network that Matt Millen, who has long drawn some jeers in the state of Michigan, but I'm pretty sure some folks can make some exception on Saturday night, especially, you know, also Matt Millen going through the health battle that he went through, and that was very well documented. As the former Detroit Lions GM will be back in the broadcast booth calling the Michigan Wolverines football opener against Middle Tennessee as part of the Big Ten Network's broadcast crew. It will be his first regular season game since his heart transplant in December. So Matt Millen returning to the booth. Awesome stuff. Just great to see him healthy again. All right, former Penn State team doctor, Dr. Scott A. Lynch, has filed a lawsuit against the university and head football coach James Franklin after claiming he was pressured to clear injured football players to return to games. That's according to Matt Miller of Penn Live. Now, Franklin reportedly, quote, repeatedly tried to influence his decisions regarding whether hurt players were fit to play, end quote. Now, Lynch believes his complaints about the coach led to his removal as orthopedic physician for the football team and director of athletic medicine for the university, and he is suing the school for more than $50,000 in damages. All right, as I mentioned, the Detroit Lions have signed a quarterback. They signed former Alliance of American Football quarterback, the very brief AAF, quarterback Luis Perez today. And they released David Fales. This is what head coach Matt Patricia had to say. Quote, it's something that we've actually tracked here for a little while. and had kind of on our radar. We don't have a lot of time left in the preseason, so if we are going to have a chance to take a look at somebody, we got to do it and just made the decision, which we did. He'll be thrown into the mix, end quote. Now, Perez, he actually signed with the LA Rams as an undrafted rookie last year and spent part of the spring with the Philadelphia Eagles after playing for the Birmingham Iron of the AAF. The AAF suspended operations in the spring after Perez threw for 1,400 yards and 5 TDs and 6 interceptions through the course of 7 starts. Aaron Rodgers, A.A. Ron, he can't comprehend the reaction of Indianapolis Colts fans who booed Andrew Luck after the news broke while he was still on the sideline during Saturday's preseason game. This is what Rodgers said on Monday. Quote, "I thought it was pretty disgusting. He's making a really tough decision, and then before that, he makes the decision. I don't know why that doesn't stay in-house to kind of protect him a little bit. Although, when I think about it, I thought it would have been more of a standing ovation type thing and a thank you than boos." Rodgers called Luck's decision, quote, "very selfless, not selfish." More on that in just a moment. Former New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski, better known as Gronk, he became emotional on Tuesday morning when describing his decision to retire from the NFL in March, saying, quote, "I want to be clear to my fans. I need to recover. I was not in a good place. Football was bringing me down. I did not like it. I was losing that joy in life," Gronk said as he fought back tears. All right, and if you care, the Detroit Tigers in action today as the Cleveland Indians will travel to Comerica Park to take on the lowly Tigers at 7:10 p.m. tonight. The Indians are 12-1 against Detroit this year and have won the last 10 matchups. And do you guys remember the whole you remember the Linsanity phase, right, Connor?
Yeah, I remember my Miami Heat ended it.
They did. They really did. And yeah, but you know, when Jeremy Lin was like on his tear, it was like, who is this dude? Where did he come from? You know, I was in college. It was my junior year, and I remember we were watching like the Knicks on a Sunday, and the dude just lit it up for like 40 something points. I'm like, man, this guy's remarkable. But Jeremy Lin, he's going to continue his professional basketball career now overseas in China. The 31-year-old vet, he signed a deal with the Beijing Sugang Ducks of the Chinese Basketball Association for next season. Lin confirmed the signing via a post on his personal Instagram page, typing, "All I can say is thank you to the NBA, my family, my inner circle, every fan who came to watch or rooted for me during these last 9 years to challenge stereotypes, make history, rep Asians at the NBA level, and pave the way as others have done for me has been an absolute privilege. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude for each person who has been with me each step of the way." So congratulations to Jeremy Lin. Again, he's continuing his basketball career, even though it would not be in the association. And correct me if I'm wrong, Connor, he was a part of that Toronto Raptors national championship team, right? So, yeah, NBA championship team. So he's got a ring there. Awesome stuff. Congratulations, Jeremy Lin. We will miss Linsanity. We definitely will. And the U.S. Open, this is actually day 2 of the U.S. Open. It's taking place. It's underway. It lasts 2 weeks. It will end on September 8th. Later on this hour, I'm gonna pocket that one as well. Later on this hour, I'll give you guys an update on what is taking place throughout the U.S. Open. I did see that Serena Williams beat Maria Sharapova 6-1, 6-1 for the 19th straight time. 19 straight times, Serena Williams has gone against Sharapova and just completely owned her. That's amazing stuff. And you know, all of the big-time names like Serena Williams and Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer, you know, they call that those the big four in tennis. It's amazing the level of tennis that they're playing at, and they're all over 30 years old. Just amazing stuff. And for context, you know, I heard this morning, John McEnroe, his last major win, it came at 25 years old. So I don't know if we'll ever see anything like this again, man. It's truly, truly special. I know throughout these next 2 weeks, I'm going to be watching some tennis and, Naomi Osaka. You know, she's playing and Corey Coco golf. Love it. Absolutely love it. So entertaining stuff there. All right. That does it, folks. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Want to hear your thoughts? This is game week. This is the week you have been waiting for. You get to put away the nightmare that was last season for your Michigan State football team. Everybody's 0-0. Hope is through the window. What are you hoping to see this Friday against Tulsa? I want to hear from you. Comment on our Facebook page. Having some audio problems with our live stream, so I did start the stream but decided to take it off because there was no audio. So you can still go there and leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or just tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. It feels good to be back. Voice is a little hoarse. I'm about 3 shades darker. I'm refreshed, though. I'm refreshed. It was a great time out in Puerto Rico. But I'm happy to be back in this seat. I get out more on the trip. I'll give you some stories, some funny stories later on this hour. But it's game week, folks. It is game week. And there were some pretty big stories while I was away that the fellas, I'm guessing, I trust them. They did a great job covering. I'm curious, were there any arguments on the air, Connor?
Jack, were there any arguments? We had some debates.
Yeah, Texas is winning.
Oh, Al, you gotta listen. You gotta listen.
Doesn't want to believe me.
You gotta listen to. We had like 2 shows worth of hot takes of for college football, and Jack here is all in on Texas winning the Big 12.
What?
And I am all in on Mr. Jalen Hurts being a Heisman finalist. So we are right now man. we have two big racehorses in the Big 12 right here. So
you guys brought it. All right. I don't know about either one of them. I'm not feeling either one of them. I'm just letting you know right now. But okay. So they had a few hot takes for you guys while I was away. I do want to pass along some news. I see Kurt from Grand Ledger online. I do just want to pass this news along to you guys for those to care. The NFL has made an exception to rules limiting the use of tinted helmet shields, which I believe you had to have like a medical reason to have a tinted shield in the NFL. And with this new sponsorship agreement with Oakley's football division, a 4-year deal has now been announced this morning that allows NFL players to wear Oakley's Prism Clear shield beginning this season. So, and it says that the equipment has a, quote, slight color tint engineered to help optimize detail recognition in the football environment. So the shields have always looked really cool to me. So, I didn't know previous to this announcement this morning that you had to have medical clearance to wear those shields. That makes sense. No, I'm like Stevie Wonder without my glasses, without my contacts. So if I played in the NFL, I would definitely need a shield. but this now, again, without any medical requirement whatsoever, if you want to wear a shield, you have to use Oakley's Prism Clear without any medical clearance. So there you have that. And also, there's a lot of trade rumors concerning Jadeveon Clowney of the Houston Texans. And you know, it looks as though the according to a few credible sources out there, that they're ready to deal Clowney. that the Texans would put Jadeveon Clowney on the market. Just real quick, I'm not going to go into a big debate about this. I may address this tomorrow, Connor. But do you think the Lions should make a move here? Maybe go after him at least?
I don't think so. They've shifted him more towards a linebacker spot. But I think the Lions kind of need to see where they're at with their defense first. I mean, keep your picks, because if you have another season like last year where you kind of falter and end up with like a top 15 pick again, I think you can spend it there on a talent similar to Jadeveon Clowney, but younger, which is in the NFL always better.
Well, it's, you know how I feel about the Detroit Lions. I always say, what do you got to lose? And Jadeveon Clowney is one of those guys. I mean, he can play you with the hand down or the hand up, man. I mean, he's amazing in so many different ways, and I think he could be a game changer. I say at least test the market and see what they're talking about. I don't know.
If they were to acquire him for like a fourth, fifth, sixth, then okay, cool, make the move. But if the Texans are here asking for promising young players or even like an earlier round selection, I'd leave him alone. Because, he's on that franchise tag deal. He's going to be a free agent next year unless he signs an extension, so you can make a play for him then. Right. That's the other part of it, too, is you're making a gamble. If you trade something high for him, there's a chance that he could come to your team, even if he plays well, he doesn't like it there, and then leave you, and then you've lost a pick.
Yeah, there's some risk there, but there's going to be risk there in acquiring any great talent, and also depending on what you need. So, yeah, but Jadeveon Clowney, it looks as though he's going to be shipped somewhere. All right, line one, Kurt from Grand Ledge wants to chime in. Kurt, what's up, my friend?
Welcome back, Al.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, brother. What's on your mind?
I'm glad your travels were safe and that you had a good time.
Oh, you know, there was one moment, though, Kurt. I'll just tell this story. On the flight there, because I flew Thursday? Yeah, that was Thursday morning, early Thursday morning. I had a 5:30 a.m. flight from Detroit to Philly. And then I flew from Philly to Puerto Rico. This has never happened to me before, and I was so, so nervous. We flew in to Puerto Rico, and right when we're about to land, there was a storm that had just hit. So I guess the pilot was like, all right, let's just try and go through the storm and see if we can land. And we're about to land. You can hear the gear come out, but then the turbulence got so crazy. Then you feel the plane move up and just kind of bail out. And I'm sitting there just kind of sweating like, you got to be kidding me. And then we go up in the air a few more feet, a few hundred feet. And then we just, kind of go into like this holding pattern for 15 minutes, Kurt, as the storm passed, before we tried it again and got down safely. But when that happened, man, I was sweating bullets, dude. I'm sitting there saying like 10 Hail Marys, all right? But yes, it was, other than that, it was a great trip. Great trip.
But was it smooth in your holding pattern?
It was very smooth. Very smooth in the holding pattern, yes.
I had the situation where we were flying into Denver, Colorado, and the pilot comes on and goes, there's wind shear down on the ground, so they're telling us to circle the airport for a while in a holding pattern until the wind shear clears off.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know who gave us the altitude to circle in, but it was the bumpiest thing for 15 or 20 minutes, and I thought my wife was going to lose it.
Oh, man, so, right. That's the worst.
Like,
yeah.
I don't have a problem circling. Put me up at 30,000 feet so we're in clean air here, but
right.
Anyway.
Exactly. I feel you, though, Kurt.
That's a different story.
Right. I feel you, man. But what's on your sports noggin, though, man?
Well, Andrew Luck retired.
Yes, he did.
The Lions are going to be mediocre with or without Matt Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
With Luck retiring, I think his salary comes off their salary cap hit to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're in a position where they could make a trade. They got to believe, so many people are saying that they were potential Super Bowl contenders with Andrew Luck. I got to believe they think their window of opportunity is now. The Lions' window of opportunity is not now and won't be for a while, if ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm suggesting a trade. Matt Stafford to the Colts for a first, second, and third or fourth round pick. And the Lions then tank it. One of your one of the guys that filled in for you yesterday said something about they wanted the Lions to tank it to get Trevor Lawrence in 2 years. I'm all for imploding it now and getting either Tua Tagovailoa or the kid at Georgia or whatever great quarterback is in this year's draft, which I think it's supposed to be a pretty deep draft for quarterbacks this year,
mm-hmm.
and getting extra players to actually start the process of it. And the other part that would help the Lions in all that is that Stafford's contract off the books would also free up some money for actually being able to do something in free agency, like maybe a Jadeveon Clowney the following year or something. But I just think it makes so much sense for both teams that, of course, it'll never happen, but because it makes sense.
That's an interesting idea.
The other part of about it is both teams may have to wait for a couple games, 2-3 games into the season to pull the trigger,
mm-hmm.
so that Baltimore can see if their backup quarterback can actually do the job or not.
See, that's so interesting. And I think that, again, I don't think it will ever happen, just because you look at Matthew Stafford, and it's like, if you take him away from this team, now I know you got a lot of Matthew Stafford haters out there. You've been listening for a while, Kirk. You know, I have leaned more so to the side of the fence. This is that, man, Matthew Stafford, he's an above average quarterback. Without him, your team would really, really be bad. He's tough. He's playing with a horrible offensive line and has for a long, long time. And Matt Patricia now, I think Matt has some pressure on him now in his second year to win now, even though the majority of Lions fans out there, realistic Lions fans out there, look at this team and say, okay, we don't expect this team to go and win a Super Bowl right now. I think the Colts are scrambling now because, yeah, I think this news kind of hit them out of nowhere. It makes sense in like a Madden 20 world to do this, but realistically, it won't happen. It just won't happen. If you're willing to sacrifice, this is the thing, I don't think that Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are. If you're willing to sacrifice, 1 to 2 years of being really bad and not having a solidified quarterback, and then when you get one, you know, you got to go through that maturation process of a Trevor Lawrence, let's just say, right? Or Tua Tagovailoa, whoever they may get. I just think that, you know, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, they're like, look, we're trying to do things to win now. So, I don't know, man. That's it. That's really interesting, though. That's really interesting, Kurt.
you see, but the thing is that, and Al, you know, 2 years ago, I suggested they trade Stafford to the Cleveland Browns. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a Stafford hater.
Yeah.
I think he's a very good quarterback. He's just never going to win at the Lions because he's a good enough quarterback to keep them mediocre with terrible pieces all around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll always be in that 9 to 14 draft pick area, which isn't going to be good enough, and they're only always going to have their own draft picks and not enough other picks to make things happen. So it's like he needs to be moved. You're not going to win with him because you're never going to be able to build enough team around him to win big time with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to be moved so you can reconstruct, and that's the pitch that needs to be made to Martha Ford in terms of saying, hey, I know you love Matt. We love Matt. Everybody loves Matt. The city of Detroit likes Matt, you know, for all the different things he's done for the city of Detroit and stuff. But this is where we need to go as a team, because we don't see ourselves advancing beyond 9-7 football at the best.
That is such an interesting thought. I'm wondering if any other callers, for those out there listening to Kurt right now, would you trade Matthew Stafford? Would you give him up to the Indianapolis for, you know, some picks and just kind of, you know, hope that you can land a big fish behind center in the NFL draft? Call up 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'll see if we can get some reaction on that, Kirk, all right?
All right, take care, Al.
That's
Bye.
Awesome. Would you do that, Connor? You know where I stand. I wouldn't. But
okay.
It's an intriguing thought.
Okay, first off, the Colts would not send a first, second, and a third for Matthew Stafford. But we've been having a conversation back here, and we think back here that if the Lions can get a first and a third from the Colts, take the deal. And Jack is coming in studio to give you his dream scenario of what will happen for the Lions. But I would think a first and a third would be a reasonable haul for Matthew Stafford.
Because then you could get one of these top quarterbacks coming out.
But, His situation's different. But yeah, you'd be in a position to get top quarterback, and then a third round pick down the line for a decent, you know. I mean, Bob Quinn, Jack pointed out, Bob Quinn has been pretty good in the third round, which is pretty hard to do. I mean, that's start when things start getting dicey. The only thing I'll say against the Stafford trade is I don't think the from the Colts' perspective, I don't think they're going to do it. I think the Colts are in kind of a wait-and-see mode. They're going to put out Jacoby for a year and see where that gets them because, you know, best case, maybe Jacoby surprises them and they either just sneak into the playoffs or they just miss the playoffs and they can build from there. Or, you know, they stink this year and they get a high pick and they can, you know, take their quarterback in this year's draft and be fine. So I think the only caveat here is I think the Colts are in wait-and-see mode. But if I'm the Lions and the Colts come to me and say, we'll give you a first-round pick this year and we'll give you a third-round pick next year or 2 years from now, I'm taking that deal.
Really sit down and, yeah, and legitimately think about that. Yeah. Those are pretty high picks. All right, Jack, your thoughts on this.
So I just wanted to come in here to preface all of this by saying none of this is going to happen.
No, this is our fantasy world.
The Detroit Lions are never trading Matthew Stafford.
No.
Number one. But my big point was if you could trade Matthew Stafford to the Indianapolis Colts for like a first and a third round pick, and then you tank the season, and then you draft like Chase Young from Ohio State, like a great pass rusher, and then you take one more year and you get Trevor Lawrence, that would be my dream scenario.
So you will wait for Trevor Lawrence.
Right. Kind of like what the Browns did when they took Myles Garrett. They weren't ready to kind of go back into contention mode yet, and they didn't like any of the quarterbacks in that class, so they took Myles Garrett as their first overall pick because he was the best player in that draft. It was too early for them to get the quarterback. You kind of build out the roster a little bit more, and then you get the quarterback, and I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be, like, incredible. So
I'm curious, did you guys kick around this idea yesterday?
No.
As soon as we talked about it as the call came in, we were listening to the call.
10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, so the last 10 minutes. Because this is a really intriguing thought. Because I didn't even think about this until Kurt brought it up. Like, oh yeah, Andrew Luck is gone. The Colts do want to, I'm sure, you know, test the market and try and get somebody in there ASAP that, you know, has a big name.
It's just one of those things where, like, if you're a good organization, which the Lions are not, even if you don't want to move on from Matthew Stafford, you have to consider the value that's being presented to you. And if someone offered the Detroit Lions a first and a third round pick with Matthew Stafford making $27 million a year, even if you like Stafford, I think you have to take that deal.
Right.
I mean, the Lions won't, but...
And at the very least, sit down and really think about it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Okay. That's really interesting thoughts. All right, let's hit our first break. When I come back, I'm going to give I'm not going to be long with this because, again, I'm sure some of our listeners are like, oh, boy, again, didn't Jack, Connor, and Alec talk about this on Monday's show? But I'm going to give brief thoughts on Andrew Luck, all right? And then we're going to go straight to Michigan State football and talk about what Coach D had to say during his press conference inside of Spartan Stadium. And then we'll double back and talk about the Lions and this whole quarterback situation concerning them, not when it comes to this whole trade with Andrew Luck, but... I'll tell you about the new quarterback that they signed. All right? So that and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, we just talked with one of our listeners out there, Kurt from Grand Ledge, who kicked around the idea in light of this Andrew Luck story, Andrew Luck deciding to retire, no longer the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. You know, should the Lions think about shipping Matthew Stafford to Indy? Again, this is definitely that's certainly a sports talk debate right there, right? It will never happen, but, you know, fun to think about and play around with the scenarios and what the Lions should do if they did make that move. And, you know, there is one quarterback out there who is staying ready. You know, wasn't it Will Smith who had the famous quote, you know, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And Colin Kaepernick is certainly doing that very thing. He's living to that right now. I don't know if you saw this, kind of, but TMZ Sports
show Colin Kaepernick looking pretty fit and in the weight room, 31 years old. Maybe give him a workout? I don't know. I don't know, man.
I would be shocked if Ursa is the owner that gives Colin Kaepernick a chance. I would be absolutely shocked.
Talk about fantasy land, right? Yeah, I would be shocked as well. But Cap looks good. You know, there's some videos out there of him working out and looks to be in shape. All right, just briefly, Andrew Luck, again, he's retired. And I just want to say this, and I'm pretty sure I would be shocked if, again, I didn't listen to the show yesterday, but I would be very shocked if both you, Connor, and Jack disagree with this. But I have absolutely no problem with Andrew Luck retiring. This is a guy who has been through so many injuries, to the point where, you know, docs were telling him that this could affect your quality of life later on. And, you know, with him constantly going through these injuries and the latest one throughout this year's training camp being, you know, an ankle injury, not being 100%. He played, you know, last year hurt. You get drained, man. You know, and this is football. This is one of the most physical sports in the world. You know, you're not playing cards here. This is a very physical sport, and at a certain point, it wears on you, not just physically if you're having all of these injuries, but mentally as well. That's mentally draining. So can you really blame Andrew Luck for saying, I'm done and I'm walking away from the game? I have no problem with it. But you know what the thing I do have a problem with? People who are like, I had a problem with what Aaron Rodgers had to say and multiple other athletes out there who are bashing the Colts fans who were at that game. And as it slowly, I don't even know how it got leaked out. If there's one aspect, when you look at the Aaron Rodgers quote that I read to you guys in the headliners, if there's one thing that I do agree with Aaron Rodgers with this, you know, yeah, I mean, how does that leak out? You know, something of that importance, how does that get out there in the atmosphere? I don't know. Has a story been written on that?
It was actually earlier on Lebatard today. They had Adam Schefter on, and he was saying that people in the Colts organization knew about this since Thursday. The Colts were initially thinking about having a press conference on Friday. They were telling players, some players, on Friday. So it had been around in the building,
like,
between players and with people up in management and things like that.
That's on the Colts.
So it's been in the air. And then they eventually decided that they were not going to have it even on Saturday after the preseason game. They were going to push it back till Sunday.
Right.
So, because they had asked the question, well, what did you do with this information? And Schefter's like, well, it was on the Colts. They could have released this on Thursday. They could have released this on Friday. I didn't have to be the one to break the news. People in the Colts building knew. So you have to figure, once, you know, more than like a handful of people know, it's going to get out.
It's going to get out. And that's on the Colts organization. Information like this, if you know that your starting quarterback, if you know this news is going to come out that he's about to retire, you keep that card as close to the vest as possible until the press conference takes place. All right? And if more than a handful of people know, you have that press conference before your NFL preseason game. If you think there is even a 0.1111% chance of that information getting out to the public. So, and then how can you bash the fans? First off, fans are fanatics, all right? I always say this. Fans are emotional beings, and you just spring up news at a preseason game when their hopes are high, the season is about to start, they're thinking Andrew Luck is our guy. Yeah, we still got a chance here. Yeah, we know he's got this ankle injury, but hey, it's Andrew Luck. We're riding and dying with our guy. Add a few Bud Lights to that mix, and you think they're going to rationally think through this and say, well, it's been a great ride, Andrew. Let's give him a round of applause. No. Even when Barry Sanders, I think, and I truly believe this is on the scale of Barry Sanders. I mean, Andrew Luck retiring like this out of nowhere, seemingly. It's the same thing that happened when Barry Sanders retired. I was listening to Rob Parker today. And Rob Parker, you know, longtime Detroit sportscaster. He's now on Fox Sports now. I know Rob. We've had Rob on the show a few times. And Rob today was telling the story of when he was on the air and the reaction from Detroit Lions fans out there when they heard that suddenly Barry Sanders was going to retire. And it's not like Barry Sanders had a plethora of injuries throughout his career. I mean, Barry Sanders was, from what we know, relatively healthy. You know, Barry didn't have lingering injuries that kept him out of games. I mean, this dude was a horse. He was fine. He just lost the passion, and the organization put him in a tough, tough space where he's like, man, I'm not happy anymore. I'm going to retire. I'm done. And Rob remembers being on the air, and he said on the air, fans, when you get news like that, like your franchise player is about to retire and leave you, fans are selfish. They don't care about the human being. All right? All they care about is, this is going to affect my team, and we're not going to win anymore. That's the initial thought that comes through their brain. So can you blame fans when they are angry after hearing news like that? Not at all. Not at all. Was it a bit uneasy and awkward? Oh, for sure. Hearing those boos rain down and then Andrew Luck is just kind of sitting there. I mean, that's awkward as heck. And that's on the Colts organization for not protecting Andrew Luck even more. And again, holding a press conference before the game so that kind of crap doesn't happen. And Andrew Luck, if they held the press conference, he wouldn't have to show up to the game. You know, heck, you can just chill at home after that. We know that you're retiring. Why be there? But, you know, I can't blame the fans. All right? You're emotional creatures. You're emotional beings. You are thinking about just your team. You know, it was funny, too. They showed the one guy who had on an Andrew Luck jersey, and he just kind of took it off like, oh, well, that's it. I mean, what do you expect? And I think now, and just listening to Rob Gronkowski, this is another totally different example, but Rob Gronkowski, he's still healthy and can still play the game of football for maybe a couple more years, a few more years. And listening to his press conference this week, I believe it was this morning, about, you know, why he decided to leave the game. And he's advocating, I believe he's partnering with a CBD company to advocate for marijuana as a form of treatment for athletes who play the game of football today, which I love that. I love that. Much healthier alternative than just, you know, popping pills like the Skittles, man. So and Gronk talked about the grind of being an NFL player. And how it just wears on you, and the fun kind of goes away after a while. Not all players, but that's how some of these guys feel. And I think there's a direct linkage between that emotional state to chronic traumatic encephalopathy. There's a direct parallel there. And the longer you play, what kind of a effect does that have on your brain? I mean, these guys are scared and nervous. And then you're a guy like Andrew Luck, who has injury after injury after injury. How is the game fun anymore? How? Just how? I mean, I can't blame the guy. He's got millions in the bank now. He seems like an incredibly smart dude. And, you know, he just wants to go on about his life. So I can't blame Andrew Luck. And I can't blame the fans for the reaction whatsoever. Now, I'm curious. Did you guys disagree with anything I stated on yesterday? Did you guys disagree at all with what I just stated on yesterday's show when you had this discussion, Connor?
Not really. The only thing I had said is that I get the fans' response. I just wish that, you know, there's inconsistencies with like defending the fans being emotional and such. Like the example I brought up is every time a Philadelphia fandom does something like this where they boo something inappropriate or they cheer for something inappropriate, you have members of the media, you have all these other things that crucify that fan base. When the Raptors did it to Kevin Durant, there wasn't the same nuance. What I'm saying,
but that's so an injury.
No,
you can't compare to what happened with Kevin Durant to Andrew Luck deciding to retire.
What I was saying was part of it was like mostly focusing on the Philly aspect of the conversation. When Philly fans do stuff like this, it's immediately demonized and immediately called out and immediately shunned. And there's not the same nuance of, well, these fans are upset because of this, that, and the other thing. So I just want it to be, you know, consistent across the board. I don't like that, you know, that some fan bases, when stuff like this happens, get called out and thrown into the fire, while other ones like Indianapolis get like this sort of nuanced treatment. I don't think it's a good look for the fans, but I understand it was an emotional response to, you know, just getting the news.
Yeah, if I was to get some bad news, I don't know, about a family member of mine in the moment here on the air. And now let's just say maybe I was buzzing off a few pops. All right. Like these fans were. when they got the news in the stadium.
You drink at work?
No. God, no.
Jeez, you're trying to get him in trouble the first day he's back?
It's coffee. This is coffee.
I mean, this is a wild example he's setting up. He's on the airwaves, well, but he's had a few drinks.
Well, Jack, this is a wild example of finding out during an NFL preseason game that your franchise quarterback is retiring. How often does that happen,
buddy? How often do you drink at work if you never drink at work?
These are two extreme scenarios. That's what I'm saying. So if you think I'm going to react logically to that news about a family member, if I'm intoxicated and I get a news about my family member live here on the airwaves, I'm gonna probably look in hindsight and say I probably could have handled that better.
Yeah.
But in the moment, how can you blame a fan for being upset about their franchise quarterback up and chumping up the peace sign?
My main takeaway from this is that Al drinks at work.
Not at all. No, I don't. Stop it. Don't even put that out.
No, I get that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got that.
Like, come on.
So
now,
like when we were talking, we were both kind of like, you know, yeah, the fans, they're gonna have emotional responses, and I can kind of understand in the heat of the moment, like you just found out you lost, and that reaction comes out. I was just saying, I mean, it's still a bad look anyway you slice it. So
it is not a bad look at all. People need to wake up and just put the situation in context here, man. Did it look bad? For sure. I mean, your franchise quarterback who's been there for years and given everything he's gotten to the organization is getting booed. And this is his swan song, the final time we see him on the Colts field. So it's like, it's a weird, different situation that you just don't normally see. I mean, and then also Rob told this story. Barry Sanders, this is a couple of years after the whole retirement situation with him. He was shown on the Jumbotron at the Palace of Auburn Hills with his young son there at the game next to him, too. And they show him on the Jumbotron, and what do the fans do at this Detroit Pistons game? They give it to Barry. I mean, boos rain down in that facility. So fans aren't thinking logically, and you can't expect them to think logically in this kind of situation that is so far out of left field. So can we just stop it? Just stop it. Jack, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my only point yesterday was basically kind of the opposite of what you just brought up, is that, you know, fans are emotional, fans are reactionary, and I don't blame them for that. My whole point was, if they would have seen Andrew Luck after he would have announced his retirement, after he would have had the press conference, I don't think he would have been booed by the fans of the Indianapolis Colts. Like, I think if they would have had time to digest what would have gone down, I don't think they would have booed him. That being said, from the fan perspective, I don't have an issue with fans who, you know, aren't football players, are not NFL players. They don't want to hear about a guy who's made $100 million saying that he's worn down from rehab. Like, I can rationalize fans not being interested in hearing that and booing him when he decides to hang it up, citing injury. Even though, I mean, I wouldn't boo Andrew Luck myself if I were a Colts fan, but I can see where they're coming from.
Because they don't understand it. Bo Jackson had a great tweet about, like, look, man.
I mean, it's not a real life, if we're being honest. Like, a pro athlete, the amount of money you make to play a kid's game, like, that's not reality.
Right. And the flip side of everything is, I mean, you know what you signed up for when you play the game of football as well. And you're getting paid money, and a lot of money, to do it. And you're living a great life if you're a millionaire. And in the eyes of many out there, they don't want to hear the woe is me story. But like Bo Jackson said, man, I mean, you can't. You know, don't criticize another man's decision if you've never walked in his shoes and don't know what it's like to lace up the cleats every single Sunday.
And I think ultimately goes back to, like, this falls on the Colts. Just hearing from what Adam Schefter had to say this morning, this falls on the Colts. You knew about this on Thursday. Right. And you still put him out. You trotted him out onto the field on Saturday like everything was normal, and you kept it quiet. And even after the Schefter stuff broke, there's only so much you can do at that point. But still, like, they just seemed like they acted like they were blindsided by this. Like, oh, well, we had no idea.
Right.
But then,
then you
hear that they knew about it Thursday and they were telling players Friday.
Yeah.
Like, come on now.
Stop it. Just so that in that regard, definitely this is on the Colts organization. If you knew about it beforehand and there was any chance of this thing being leaked, hold the press conference ASAP. All right, get it out there so that, like you mentioned, Jack, so that fans can have some kind of time to digest this whole
because
thing.
Because when it comes down to it, I don't think anybody in Indianapolis dislikes Andrew Luck.
No.
Even after he retires, you know?
Right.
He's still a hero there. You think he plays again?
That's a good question.
He doesn't seem like he wants to. No. When I watched his press conference, he seemed to have his head in a really good place.
Yeah, it seems like he's comfortable with this. Yeah. He's thought about it for a long time, and he's done. He doesn't want to do this anymore.
I guess that could shift if he becomes 100% healthy, taking the year off. But I agree. Right. You know, hearing his press conference, he seemed to be pretty at peace with being done with football.
Exactly. Yeah, he's at peace, I believe. So, all right, let's go to line two. We got Mike from Saginaw. Mike, what's up, man?
What's up, man? I was just going to, before I comment on Andrew Luck, did you see Missy Elliott, man?
I did. Me and my whole family watched it last night. Great tribute to Missy, man. Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. She deserves that award.
I know. I mean, there's one more question before I ask about Andrew Luck. What do you think about Lizzo, man?
Oh, she's repping for the D, so I can't hate on anybody representing for my hometown. She's a little out there, but I like her swag, and she is comfortable in her own skin. I'll just say that.
I like that, too. I like that. So many of them get all puffed up and bloomed up, but she is really comfortable in her own skin. So
she is. Right.
I like that, man. It's just something about that, the warm shoulder. It's just something about it ain't like what it used to be, man.
And for those who don't know what Mike and I are talking about, the VMAs were last night on VH1. And Missy Elliott got the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. So many artists perform like Lizzo, so just giving that background. So, yeah, they're not like what they used to be, though, and I think that's because artistry has certainly changed from what it used to be. But that's a whole other conversation.
Definitely. Here's what I want to tell you about Andrew Luck. I think it's really a nice time that he left, man. He didn't go off and just constantly beat himself up for you know. I think he just was looking out for his long-term health, man, and I think that was the right decision for him. I'm sorry the team is not going to be – they're going to be like the Lions. They're going to be a 500 team. So if the Lions get to 500, I tell you that, man. But how was your vacation, man?
Oh, it was good. It was good. Thank you so much, Mike. And I'll tell more about that because I want to hit this second break. But and the vacation was great though. Thank you so much for asking, Mike. And you know, this is going to be a story that. And I debated about this. We want to drive here. Will we see this become a trend? Athletes who have been beat up, who are like looking at their careers and saying, "Man, I can't do this anymore," and retiring earlier, based on what we are knowing more and more about the effects of the game of football too on the brain, will this become a trend? Do you think we'll see athletes start retiring earlier and earlier in their careers, Connor?
In football, it wouldn't shock me, especially if, let's say, you're a promising player and you, especially if you're lucky enough to be on a franchise that wins a championship or gets to a Super Bowl early enough in your career, and you can start to see people start retiring, you know, the age of shifting more from the 32 to 35 range down to probably like the 27 to like 30 range. Again, it depends on success. So like Andrew Luck goes into the league. If Andrew Luck had gone to the league and was a bum, I think you would see him try to maybe tough it out just because the competitor he is. But he went into the league. He had a really good solid couple of years. Made the playoffs. I mean, he made some good accomplishments, and I think that's why it's a little bit easier maybe for him to walk away from the game. But I it would not shock me if in the next 5-10 years we start to see kind of the age of football players especially start to shift down in how long they're willing to do this.
I think we're already seeing it, and there's some stats I'll bring up on tomorrow's show that kind of back that theory up. So
The only reason Andrew Luck was earth-shattering is because he was a quarterback.
But
yeah,
exactly.
guys are leaving NFL earlier. Yeah.
In the league. Final break. We'll come back. Brief thoughts on Michigan State's depth chart for the football team as, of course, MSU football in Tulsa inches closer and closer. Friday night, game time, baby. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports as we have just, what, 3 minutes left here in the hour. As Mark D'Antonio, a little after 11 a.m. this morning inside of the Tom and Loopy Izzo Media Center, north end zone of Spartan Stadium, he addressed the media for his very first game week press conference of the 2019 season as Michigan State and Tulsa will play, of course, on Friday night, 7 p.m. You can catch that one on Fox Sports 1. And the depth chart was released, so the first depth chart of the Michigan State football year. Not much to take away from it other than the fact I do want to pass this along to you in case you didn't know. But fifth-year senior left tackle, Coach Ewens, he was not listed on the depth chart that was released this morning. And he is going to miss the opener against Tulsa this Friday. So they do believe that Chewins will be available later on down the line, and he actually had a string of 16 consecutive starts at left tackle. That was snapped when he missed last year's season opening win against Utah State due to injury. So with Chewins out, redshirt junior A.J. Akuri is listed in the starting left tackle slot. Junior starting right guard, who is that? Kevin Jarvis is the backup. So Coach D, concerning Cole Chewins, said this morning, he struggled with his back here throughout the preseason, so right now he's sort of on a day-to-day basis to see where he's at. We do anticipate that he'll be able to play at some point, but he's had some time off here as of late. So when it comes to Akuri, he took a red shirt as a true freshman back in 2016. He missed the entire following season due to injury, played in all 13 games though last season, although that was mostly on special teams, and he was only on the field for 22 offensive snaps. So he's now in position to make his first college start. So I wanted to pass that news along to you guys. And tomorrow what I want to do is I want to give early season predictions for MVP on both the offense and the defense, a few sleeper picks for you guys. And, you know, we'll kind of just dissect where Michigan State can possibly go for this upcoming 2019 season, all right? So we'll talk a lot of MSU football on tomorrow's show. But until then, we are on a 23-hour break. We will see you for the Hump Day edition of Current Sports tomorrow. Be easy, people.